Verse 13, Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Are you listening? Let me read that again. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the things that we like to deal with as we continue this series. And Lord, I believe that we enjoy hearing all this talk about grace and the liberty that you've given us and freed us from so many things. But Lord, while we enjoy that freedom, that liberty, you have made it very clear what we're to use that liberty for and what we're not to use it for. So Lord, I pray you'd bless us as we divide your word tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. I like to notice three things, and these are three L words that I see him mention in this passage. And that's what I'd like for us to deal with tonight. First, I see him talk about the liberty, the law, and lust. Liberty, law, and lust. And that's what we're going to deal with this evening. If you don't need to turn to this, but I want you to notice, if you can, in verse 13 that we just read, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." I want you to notice first off tonight, as he deals with this, I see first off liberty flawed. Liberty flawed. He says this, "You've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That means this, it's possible to take the liberty that Christ has given us and to not use it correctly, to use it for our flesh, to use it for selfish reasons. Now, I want you to say, well, what do you mean we're called unto liberty? I notice first under this, we see the calling. He said, "You've been called to liberty." I want to read this to you in Romans chapter 8. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? I've been called to liberty." The Bible says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." All God's people said right there. That wasn't very good. Let me read that verse again. And this really, this is why you're sitting in church, folks. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Says this, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You and I were created, we've been called to liberty. That means this, God created us with one thing in mind, one plan in mind. That's for each person to receive Christ as their Savior. Will everybody be saved? No. Could everybody be saved? Do they all have the opportunity? Would God allow all men to be saved? Yes. We've been called to liberty, the calling. Can I say, they say, "What do you mean I've been called to liberty?" It means this, when you are saved, you are freed from sin, and that's what God has called us to. We are not free to sin, we're freed from sin. And that's what we've been called to. Notice, secondly, the concern. He said, "You've been called unto liberty," but notice the concern here. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Can I tell you that over the years, I can't say it's been just a constant barrage of this, but I've often had people try to justify sin by saying, I have liberty in Christ. Folks, that's not why Christ gave you that liberty. That liberty is not so that you can kind of go do anything you want to do, and in the name of liberty, you're still saved. And by the way, I believe if you've been saved, you go sin, you do wrong, I believe you're still saved, don't you? But I believe when you're truly saved that there is a change. And if you can continue to live wrong, do wrong, never feel guilt, never feel any pangs of conviction, something's wrong, according to this Bible. Because the Bible says if you're His, He chastens you. And if He's not chastening you, you might not be His. But here's the concern that Paul had. He said, fellas, I believe that you've used this liberty thing for an occasion to the flesh. Now, we always preach this and we say, what that means is, bless God, you can't go out and just do something immoral or whatever and say, okay, I can do that because I have liberty. In the context of this passage, what was happening was that there were individuals there in Galatia that were attacking each other. There was strife, there was contention, and you notice in just a verse or two later, he says, but if ye bite and devour one another. So what was going on was, as they, in the name of liberty, felt that they could abuse and treat each other the way they felt like they wanted to, because they had liberty. And Paul said, hey, you're not supposed to use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Let me read you a verse. I want you to listen real closely. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 15, listen to this. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you hear that verse? One of these days I'm going to preach on it. I was studying this week. I said, I've got to preach on that verse. Listen, it says this, for so is the will of God. In other words, this is God's will. Listen, that with well-doing, that means doing what's right, the way you live, the way we dress, the way we act. Listen to me. With well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, the Bible does not say that we put people to silence by jumping on them. You know how the Bible says we silence foolish men? By the way we act. By well-doing. That's what makes a difference. Now, let me continue to read the verse. I want you to get this. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, you don't have a right just to treat somebody mean and rotten just because you think that you can. Listen to this. But as the servants of God, and our pastor that we had come last night for our men's meeting preached on this verse, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Listen to me. He says this, fellas, you've been called to liberty, but I'm afraid that you're using this liberty to do whatever you want to do, to treat people the way you want to treat them. And that's not right. Now, how do you know he's talking about that? Look at the third thing in this verse I see is the cooperation. He says this, but by love, serve one another. But by love, serve one another. Which means this. You know what happens when all of a sudden we begin to try to treat, you know, we treat people bad, we're mean, we're nasty with them, we don't treat them right, we're kind of ugly and different things. You know where that comes from? That comes from selfishness. That comes from my feelings were hurt, my this, my that, I don't like this, and that's where that contention comes from. This is what God says, don't use your liberty just because you're saved, you think you can go treat people the way you want to treat them. Because you've been saved, it's through well-doing that we're supposed to reach the lost. It's by the way we treat people, the way we act, the way we live. And he says this, what you're supposed to do is by love, serve one another. That means this, the law brings selfishness. Love brings serving. You know what we ought to be doing at church? Serving each other. It's not about what can you do for me, it's about what I can do for you. It's not about what this church owes me, it's about what we owe this church. I feel like John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. That was a horrible John F. Kennedy right there. That was horrible. Listen, it's not about, hey, I don't think that the church hadn't done this, and they haven't done this, and I don't think that they've said thank you, and I don't think so-and-so hasn't really ever mentioned me and appreciates what... Listen to me. By love, God says we are to serve one another. By the way, I don't find anywhere in there where it says that we serve a certain group of people. It doesn't say anywhere where we serve a certain class of people. It doesn't even have anything in there where we serve a certain race of people. Heard a guy on the radio this past week. I thought it was great. He said, if you understand grace at all, you'll have no problem with race. He said, if you understand grace, you won't have a problem with race. And you know what? The Bible says we are to serve one another, period. It takes cooperation. It takes, when we're in a church, you know what, let's say we just got finished Vacation Bible School, had a great Vacation Bible School, but I'm going to tell you something, every year in Vacation Bible School, and I'm sure Scott hadn't talked to me, he doesn't ever say, but I'm sure as you're trying to organize and get individuals to do this thing, there's always conflict, there's always somebody, well, I don't like this, and I don't think you should have done, and listen to me, VBS and whatever we do, it's not about us, it's about us serving one another. There shouldn't be conflict on things like this. There shouldn't be conflict when we do things. We got Upwards coming up, or we have Community Day, or when we do that. There shouldn't be conflict because it's not about us. We're serving one another. I better get on to something else very quickly. Liberty flawed. Second, I want you to notice the law fulfilled. Notice what he says in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. In other words, this. If you use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, that is not fulfilling the law. The law is fulfilled in this. Notice this. That thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says this. The law, liberty doesn't give you the right to treat people meanly or the way you want to treat them. Because the law is only fulfilled when you love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, by saying amen, if you agree, say amen. I would like for Kerwin Baptist Church to continue to grow. Now, and don't get me wrong, I don't think anybody's against growing, but a lot of times people say, you know, I like the way things are, and I understand that. Trust me, I don't want to lose the family atmosphere that we have here and the spirit that we have here, but I look at it as, hey, our job is to try to reach as many people as we can, and we want to do that in a right kind of way. But I would love to see one day, man, a new building somewhere on this property and full of another 400, 500, 600 people than we have here and reach people and having ministries. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. All right, if that's great, if that's the way it is, well, guess what? The only way to do that is if you and I walk out of this building and love our neighbor as we do ourselves. Can I say this? If all of us loved people the way we love ourselves, we would have to build a new building in a few months. Why? What did 2 Peter tell us? By well-doing, you will silence foolish men. When you show love, and I mean love not just, I love you. I mean love as much as I love myself. Now, fellas, hey, I'm guilty, and that's difficult to do. But listen to me. We want to grow a church. We want to reach more people. That's the way you got to do it. You can have as many ministries as you want. You can have as many plans as you want. And we can meet and powwow. And Scott loves that word when I use that word, powwow. We can meet. We can talk. We can plan. We can have leadership sessions. We can have all these things. But if we're not walking out of this building, loving people like we love ourselves, showing favor to people, showing compassion, ain't nothing going to work here. Nothing's going to work. Because that is where the law is fulfilled. When we love our neighbor. Once again, neighbor, I don't see where it said any class of people. It didn't say people that smell good, look good. It says our neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Anybody that you come in contact with. They're your neighbor. Now, that doesn't mean we're just idiots. It means that you're smart about it and you understand and you got to do things in a right and organized way. But can I tell you something? The law is only fulfilled when we love our neighbor as ourselves. Law fulfilled. First, I want you to see the design. This is how God designed it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Second, I want you to see the division. Look, if you would, at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, this is what God's saying. Hey, the way I designed it was for you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way I designed it. But the problem is there's a division. And the division comes is while you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, if you're so busy biting and devouring one another, then the law's not fulfilled. Then all of a sudden the liberty doesn't do you any good because now we're just attacking each other. Can I tell you something? I think our church is great at this. And just because I preach on it doesn't mean I think we have a problem. I think our church is great on this. Hopefully gone are the days where we are attacking every other church and every other preacher and every other individual that goes to another church. Gone are those days. Because the law is fulfilled when we show love to our neighbor. We got a lot of neighbors that are churches around, don't we? Kerwin ain't no better than anybody else, excuse the expression. We're a bunch of sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. And I'm thankful to be, I think this is the greatest church in the world, but we're not better than anybody else. We're not just a chosen people sent to govern this area. You know why God's put us here? To reach people, to show the love of Christ. So we see God's design, we see their division, bite and devour. You know what? It's just like God to choose the exact right words, bite and devour. Are we not good at that sometimes? And I know every preacher always says it, but it always starts with, you really need to pray about something. And then we devour individuals, tear them apart, you know, run, gossip, twist things up. Notice what he says here. Third, we see the destruction. He says, but if ye bite and devour one another, notice, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. What does that mean? That word consume means to use up, to destroy. And he's saying this, Galatia, listen. I want you to know something. You've been called to liberty, but don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, because the law is only fulfilled one way, and that's if you love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, what's going to happen? You're going to kill each other. Maybe not actually, but figuratively. You're going to chew each other up. You're constantly fighting in a church situation. And before long, you're going to turn around. You haven't reached anybody outside of the church, and you've destroyed everybody in it. Come on, somebody say amen to me. I feel like I'm preaching to the wall. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. Biting and devouring ought not go on in a church. We ought to be so busy reaching that we don't have time to pull apart. Tear down and bite and devour. Let me go on to the next one. Look at verse 16, if you will. This I say then. I want you to notice, thirdly, the lust of the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I want you to notice number one tonight under this, the walk. This is what he says. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at me, folks. There is only one way for us to keep ourselves from constantly giving in to the lust of the flesh. There's only one way for that to happen. And by the way, I believe this lust of the flesh talks about also getting along with people. This isn't just a sinful nature or a lust of the flesh. You know, pride of life, I believe, comes into the fact where it talks about your relationship with people. But can I say the lust of the flesh is desiring to have. It's greed. It's envy. It's all those different things. And this is what God says. He says, listen to me. You've got to walk in the Spirit, or you will give in to the lust of the flesh. Listen to me, folks. If we live in the flesh, we're going to lust in the flesh. It's the way it goes. If we live in the flesh, lust is coming, and there's nothing there to stop it. But we have to walk in the Spirit. And this is the way he describes it. He says, that's the way you ought to walk. Notice, secondly, not only the walk, the war. This is the war that is described going on in our lives right now. He said that the spirit, notice this, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit is lusting against the flesh, and the two are contrary to each other. Now, I want you to understand this. They're not lusting after each other. They're lusting against each other. That means this. Look at me. Our flesh and God's spirit is competing for our attention, for our time, for our heart, for our submission. They are literally lusting to envy. That means this, that the spirit side of us, if you've been saved and the Holy Spirit comes in to your life, that spirit wants your time so bad, and he wants your submission so bad, and he wants your heart so bad that he almost lusteth to envy. That means he's envious when you give more time to the flesh. And over here, your flesh will get very angry with you when you give more time to the Spirit. I'll tell you something, folks. Look at me. You get in God's Word, and you start living right, acting right, thinking right, start putting good stuff in, not letting bad stuff in. Let me tell you something. That flesh inside of us hates that. And it's going to get very envious. Because all of a sudden now we're giving more of our time to the spirit than we've been given to the flesh. And guess what? All hell breaks loose in your life. I'm going to tell you something. Every kind of temptation that could possibly happen is going to hit you, and it's going to hit you hard. You know why? Because that flesh hates the fact that you're giving your time to the spirit. Why is it so important to be at church? Because that's a victory for the spirit. That means the flesh didn't win tonight. You say, well, I go to church sometimes, and I don't really necessarily sometimes get everything I need. Even if you don't, guess what? The Spirit won that battle that night because you came to church. And I guarantee you, while you're here, you'll probably have more good stuff going here than it would be sitting at home watching TV. That flesh hates it. When you do anything for the Spirit, when you start getting faithful to church and you start listening to good stuff in the car and you start turning off some of the mess, oh, that flesh gets so mad and it gets so angry and it hates it because it's fighting the Spirit. But listen to me, when you start giving in and quitting coming to church and don't read our Bible and we don't pray, that Holy Spirit is grieved. And he's so bad wants our time. He so badly wants that time with us. He's envious of all that we do for the flesh. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Nowadays, I look at things different. And I know it's just been an accepted term in our churches that, you know, we have three-day revivals, or Sunday to Wednesday nowadays is a long revival. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know when God gives me liberty, I'm going to do it. But in the future here, I want two-week revivals. I'd love to plan three-week revivals. You can come if you want to, and you can stay home if you want to. But I need 3 weeks of preaching. We need every night. Let me tell you something. This world's getting worse and worse, and our revivals are getting shorter and shorter. I think we got to get back to the old-fashioned days, bless God, where we pray, and we sit down, and the preacher rears back and lets us have it, and we don't get offended, and we don't get mad, and we don't get a little bit, oh, I don't like what he said that, and I don't like what he did hit. Can I listen to me? I cannot remember a time in my life where I was ever hurt or offended by a preacher. I just can't. I mean, if they said something that got me mad, I wouldn't dare go up to them. They're the man of God. Bless God. You know, if God did it, God has a reason for it. There might be some things I've heard preaching I don't agree with. There might be some people that I might not say they're my favorite preacher. But bless God, they can't preach too hard for me. You say, are you agreeing with everything? No, some of their things I think might be way out there. But you're not going to offend me with that. You can absolutely rip my eyelids off and you're not going to offend me with preaching. And you know what? Our churches, our people, we've gotten to the fact we're so offended and we're so hurt and we're so sensitive over every little thing. And I'm going to tell you something, the flesh is loving every second of it. Every time we get mad at something the preacher says, or every time we get offended, and every time our feelings get hurt, that flesh is going, yeah. And that spirit is grieved. Oh, listen to me, dear friend. There is a war going on, and it is the bottom line. It is the foundation of every problem we ever have as a Christian, and it's this. The Spirit is fighting against the flesh, and the flesh is fighting against the Spirit, and whoever we give the most time to wins. Anybody else failing at it like I am? Anybody else struggle with that? Do I got any honest people out there? Tell you something. You put me in front of a ball game or something, man, I can sit there. I don't even have to go to the bathroom for 4 hours. You even put me in front of golf on the TV and I don't have to go to the bathroom for hours. Some of you are like, I would shoot myself if I had to watch golf. Well, you know what? I'd have to shoot myself if I had to go watch a car go around like this for 4 hours. I'm just picking. I'm going to tell you something. You set me down in a closet and I open up my Bible. Man, about 3 minutes later, oh, man, got stuff to do. Man, you read a Bible 10 minutes, feels like you've been there an hour. Why is that? That flesh hates it. That flesh don't want that inside. And that spirit's just loving every second of it. And then we plop ourselves down in front of a TV, and that flesh sits back and says, all right, take it all in. And that spirit's like, what about me? You haven't even spoken to me. You haven't spent 5 minutes with me in months. No wonder the Holy Spirit is envious. Can I say that it might just be true and a fact that the probably 90, it might even be more, it might even be 95, 96% of us in our churches are giving the flesh way more than we're giving the Spirit. And we say, I don't know why people aren't called to the mission field anymore. I don't know why we don't see people saved anymore. I don't know why we don't see revival anymore. Must be the preacher. Probably not doing nothing. Probably sitting, only works 3 hours a week anyway. I'm picking. I want you to notice lastly tonight the winner. The walk, the war, and the winner. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. That flesh can become so strong that there's even times you want to do what's right and you just can't do it. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What do you mean under the law? Under bondage. What do you mean under bondage? Look at me. You don't have to let that flesh have victory over you because you've been saved by the grace of God. And if you're led of the Spirit, if you've been saved, you don't have to sit back and let the whole flesh have victory over you and keep you pinned up and keep you in a life of depression and discouragement and sin. Bless God, you've been saved by the grace of God. And if you're led of the Spirit, you don't have to be under the law. That means we can make a change. Anybody else here need to make changes? Or is it just your preacher?